Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Well, I am very privileged today to be joined by Nicholas Babin, and he is an expert in new technologies, in particular AI and, well, really technology disruption, actually, because you back in the day, Nicholas, first of all, I want to welcome you and say thank you for joining me again. And back in the day, you were head of Sony Europe for AI and robotics. So these are topics that are, you know, things that you've been thinking about since I was, I don't know, maybe 15 years old, right? Probably.
Yes.
which is fascinating, because you launched Aibo, which was the talking dog, which was powered by AI, and that could read emails and do all of those amazing things. But I mean, today we're here to talk about AI ethics, and I know you've been doing some sort of consultancy and things like this around AI and disruptive tech, in particular with European Commission. I think you've been in talks with them recently around these topics. Is that right?
I'm an ambassador for the EU Commission, basically on anything around digital, but mostly also AI, obviously.
Fantastic. So do you think that the future of society is an AI and ethics are very difficult to manage? Or, you know, because I know there's a lot of publicity around China and how there's this sort of social score that people receive. Yeah. So how do you sort of look at that and Europe and the AI Act and things like this?
Yeah. Well, so as you've heard, the European Commission is now going to work on a document that's going to be approved by all members, that need to be approved by all members. But at least the Strasbourg Parliament has agreed for the Commission to work on that. And so we're waiting to see what's going to come up with. But it's quite important to have an AI Act, because we're stuck in the middle, if I could say, between the US and China, as you mentioned. They are really the two countries that are the most advanced in terms of AI. And of course, social scoring, you're absolutely right. There's nothing ethical about it. The way it works is it recognizes somebody's face. With AI, it can immediately find the resume, the CV of the person, basically where the person lives, where the person does. And based on your behavior, the person's behavior, will give you a score. So for example, you cross the street when it's red for you, you get minus 10. I'm just giving you an example. It's not exactly like this, but it's the idea. And once you're at a very low score, then you have trouble redoing your passport. You have trouble going into hospital, and if you're a good person, if I could say, meaning you follow the rules, then you have a positive score. And in that case, you can get access to more services and things like that. Obviously, this is Big Brother. This is something that, in my mind, in my view, with my culture, is not something that I'm familiar with or comfortable with, is actually the word I was looking for. So what today is important is that AI, because it's artificial, but it's intelligence. So meaning it's about augmenting humans, meaning, you know, you can manage more data, you can manage more historical data, you can manage a lot more than a human brain could basically could handle. It's very important that the ethical element of it, so it's 100% correct and also well managed, basically. So that's why the European Commission is working on that. When we started to launch Aibo back in 1999, we had looked at the ethical element of it, because it was the first time an AI-based robot was launched to the retail. So meaning anybody could buy and have AI at home. And we were, you know, worried about the limitations that was in 1999, right? So the internet was just going mainstream and all these things. So social media was not even starting because LinkedIn started in 2003. You see, so we hadn't thought about all this, but still we were thinking about ethical and the fact that AIBO could not record you in your home. AIBO could not send files to people because, as you said, AIBO could read emails. AIBO could interact with different type of people, could recognize different type of people, about up to 10 people. So, you know, it was really important that we worked on the rules that would make AIBO acceptable to everyone. And then that's why it was. So to reassure you, what I can say is that as soon as AI has been involved, everybody's been looking at this ethical way. Today, with generative AI, it has even more importance because generative AI is basically creating content for you, music, video, pictures, text. And so it's really important that the ethical element is taken care of. And that's why the European Commission is working on it right now, because it really... the pace of progress in terms of generative AI is just much faster than any we've ever seen in history. And so that's why it's important that the European Commission gets the AI Act together and that it's approved by everyone. And so at least we can compare, you know, with China and the US. But also we need to think about what this could mean for the business, which is, for example, if the AI Act is too strict, then would companies continue to invest in Europe? Would companies continue to be innovative in Europe, or would they prefer the US, for example, where it could be less strict, right? So the work that the European Commission is doing is essential, and it's also a big, big, big task that they are embarking on, because there are so many elements that needs to be thought through before proposing it to the member states.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously it will change and it will evolve over time, because as programs get better, then we need to keep an eye on what's actually going on. So what are AI ethics and exactly? I mean, because I know it's a bit of a big question, but it's like I've given a lot of thought to this myself. And AI ethics, from where I'm sitting, have a lot to do also with bias as a predominant factor. Is that sort of a big topic within this, or
it's one of the topic, but mm-hmm. definitely bias is one of them. But you know, we've had bias since the beginning, pretty much, because right. we have to remember that AI is programmed by a human, right? And even if you try to be, you know, it's like any judge in the world, they need to be absolutely spot on, and they need to make sure that at least their judgment is not based on anything that is not related to the case, right? And that's exactly what bias is all about. Bias is, even if you're not a racist, for example, whatever, you could have some memories of bad memories or something and enter something within your code that would make AI not 100% objective. So that is just an example that I'm giving you here, so at least people would understand what bias is. But bias is the programmer entering something that he's not aware of within a line of code that would make AI answer in a way that might not be the very objective and the truth. And that's why. So that's obviously one example. The use of AI, as we mentioned, with the social scoring is also another. It's not about bias here, but it's about the use of AI, and there are many others that I'm sure the European Commission is going to be taking care of in terms of what they will do.
Yeah, Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, I've heard that they are going to be, you know, stamping out a few types of images which are illegal. And I'm not, you know, we're not going to go into any details around those, but I think that, you know, the future of society itself and the fundamental value system that we sit on is certainly at risk here, right? I mean,
yes, it's at risk, but there are many other elements that needs to be taken care of. For example, copyright, right? We're talking about here generative AI, text, video, audio, I mean, music, pictures, and everything. So generative AI is generating content that basically comes from artificial intelligence. Who owns the copyright of this? Because generative AI in general takes, you know, little snippets from many different areas and put them together to make sense. So has this content being created before? Does it belong to somebody before or to a company before? Or is it? So these are all the questions that need to be that need to be legislated about, you know, and that's what's very important, that we get this act. But I'm trying not to be naive here, but you know, we are aware of the potential challenges that AI is creating, and the fact that we are aware, we can already start thinking about all the negative angle of it, and really keep AI as tech for good. And that's why, you know, I go onto your show and many other shows, and I explain to people that we need to be aware of what's going on, and we need to understand the potential challenges behind it in order to counterattack tech for bad, if I could say, and really focus on AI as a human augmented tool. And again, you know, human needs to stay at the center of everything. And that's why I think, you know, in terms of European companies and European countries, we really need to come together and make sure at least we implement that.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, in terms of kind of the way that AI can be used, it can be used, you know, to scam money from people. And there are all sorts of these issues. Like, I mean, you know, they've recently, you know, been able to clone people's voices. And when we get to a stage where you can, you know, clone people's voices, clone them as an individual, and actually a video would arrive in your inbox from your boss saying, you need to transfer this money. So I think the more we raise awareness and the more tools that we create to create this content, the better we become at actually working out if it's real or if it isn't real. And this is, it's a big worry, but this has been around for ages. I mean, deep fakes and these things have been around for a long time. AI isn't new, right? And these things are just, they're just getting better and better, aren't they? That's the thing.
That's the point. That's what I was going to say. It's been around for a very long time, but it keeps getting better and better. And that's why it's some people are scared. But cybersecurity issues have been around for a very long time. It's true that AI and generative AI could potentially in the future create, you know, malwares, could create some viruses that are very difficult for men to counterattack. But again, we have to remember that these generative AI tools have been created by men. So there will always be a way to counterattack those. But you're right, it's been around for a long time. It's an evolution that we've seen in terms of the potential challenges, risks, but also opportunities that we see with AI. And at the end, it's like with medical treatment, you know, what's the ratio between the risks and the benefits? And today the ratio is really in favor of the benefits, as long as people really understand what it could create and follow the rules that are suggested by the countries or by European commissions, for example, or if they're in the US, by the US. In China, I believe it's a little bit more relaxed in terms of what they can do and what they can't do. But at least in terms of US and Europe, we know that at least we have a proper guideline about what to do and what not to do.
Right, right. I mean, I think the thing is that people who are not embracing this technology are going to be left behind, and businesses are going to be left behind. I mean, if you can cut your costs dramatically by having a chatbot on your website that is plugged into your database, it's secure, it's in your own environment, you're going to have opportunity to engage with your customers on a level which your competitors aren't going to have, right? And you're going to save so much money. I mean, I dread to think how much your customer service costs will go down if you embrace that. Just that example is huge, right? It's massive.
And it's not only about costs going down. It's also about better service. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, it's going to have a personalized service, which is much more efficient than what you have today. Why? Because it takes care of so much data from the past, historical data, that you know a salesperson will have some information in his head about a customer, but he can't have everything because the brain is not capable of handling all this. So AI definitely will help make sure that the cost is down. People who were doing these mundane tasks and everything do something else. And also it gives a better service. So for a brand, you look at it with less cost, better service, retention of your customers, and being at the forefront basically of trends. And that's why, you know, I mentioned earlier on the risk between the ratio, between risks and benefits. And here the benefits are definitely higher than the risks.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm hugely interested in the customer service piece. I've got a talk coming out with Book Boone in the next, I don't know, few weeks, which is about customer service. And I talk about that as well in there. And the way that you can scale out a customer service department in case of a crisis is so much faster when you have a chatbot, because you can actually train customer service operatives almost immediately. I mean, within 6 hours, you can have, even less if they're intelligent people, you can train them up within a couple of hours on how to handle this customer service, because you've got an internal chatbot, which could also be external. It's a fascinating time to be alive, really. And, you know,
I totally agree.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sharing your optimism here, to be honest. And yeah, I think we're gonna do a lot more of these interviews to continue this positive narrative, because so many people are frightened around this, and actually it's gonna provide so much better customer service, better, more time for everybody. I mean, you're not gonna need to speak to customer service agents, because you can get the information that you need very quickly. There are so many benefits to this that I'm in agreement 100% with you there, Nicholas. So. And I want to thank you so much. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Do go and check out some of my our other interviews around this topic. And thanks once again. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.